The following program is a presentation of the FlyPod New Media Network, www.theflypod.com.
FlyPod.com. I'm Mark DeWitt. Welcome to Cover to Cover. Well, today we've got three authors in the house. We have Melissa Lander. She has a brand new book, United, an alienated novel. Melissa, welcome.
Thank you so much.
And a brand new book, Guilt Hollow by Lori Langdon.
It's good to be here.
And not only that, but Lori also wrote with Carrie Corp. It's Forever Dune, and this a series also. Is that correct?
That's correct. It's the fourth book, and fourth and final, I should say. Fourth and final book in the Dune series.
You know, this was the last one that I was reading, Forever Dune, and I could get into this book. You said it's the fourth book. I just read this one. You two put it together, so it's almost a standalone book. But what am I missing in this book?
Well, it's good to hear that it's a standalone book. The series started out with the first book. It's called Dune. And it's a story of two girls, two best friends from the Midwest who travel to Scotland and end up opening a portal to a kingdom that only appears once every 100 years.
So they're kind of stuck in this portal for 100 years. Are they going to age and kind of die out before they find it?
They age differently in Dune than they do in the modern world. So the portal opens to the modern world once every 100 years, and it's about 25 years in Dune. But there are other ways to come and go as well. The story centers around what happens to these two girls when they discover this kingdom. There are princes in kilts and castles and carriages and evil witch. They unknowingly give the witch a way into Dune and then have to go about saving that world.
All right, now Dune, I remember Dune, I mean D-U-N-E, but I think this is a little bit different, isn't it?
No giant worms in this one.
And spelled a little bit different.
It is. It is actually taken from a bridge in Alloway, Scotland, called the Brig o' Dune, which means the Bridge of Dune, which also served as the inspiration for a Lerner and Lowe musical from the 40s called Brigadoon. And my co-author, Lori, and I got the rights from the Lerner and Lowe estates to do a reimagining of the musical Brigadoon, and that's what the Dune series is. It's a four-book reimagining for today's young adult audience.
So with Forever Dune and the series of Dune, of course, both of you are writing this. How did that really actually take place? Are you guys neighbors? Do you like come over for coffee and write this thing, or how does that work?
We actually met at a writer's meeting, and it was the very first writer's meeting that I ever attended, and I was a little bit nervous. Like, I had another book I was working on at the time, and I printed out chapters and put them in a binder, and I was like terrified that I was going to have to read my book out loud. And so I walked into the library where the meeting was, and this beautiful girl, Carrie, opened the door and smiled, and I just followed her right in and sat next to her, and we've been friends ever since.
But we live about an hour and a half apart, so we're both, actually all three of us, Melissa, Lori, and I, are all from the greater Cincinnati, southern Ohio area, and live here with our families. But Lori and I talk probably 2, 3, 4, 10 times a day, and as co-authors, we coordinate and collaborate just about every day via computer and phone.
Okay, so let's find out a little bit from Melissa about her book, United. And this has kind of a real, real cool cover on it, where we see a man who seems to be like on some sort of a planet or something. He's upside down. This almost looks like a Michelangelo painting with maybe almost the touching of the fingers, but he's not really touching the lady that's upright here on green land, I guess, on grass, and he's kind of on rocky soil there. Tell me a little about that.
It follows the pattern for the rest of the series. The first cover shows Kara Sweeney, our protagonist, on Earth, reclining in the grass, and then Alix, our alien exchange student, blissfully ignorant on his homeworld, both of them just gazing into the sky with no clue what's about to happen to either of them. The second book shows them a little more aware, sitting up and looking into the sky. And the third kind of follows that progression. Now they're reaching for each other. They're aware they have a goal. When it started with the first book, Alienated, the basic premise was Kara Sweeney was chosen to host the very first alien exchange student. And she got a lot more than she bargained for in that. And I pulled in themes of xenophobia that unfortunately are all too common if you follow the political climate right now. And I wanted to know what would happen if an alien race made contact. And I started looking around at what was going on in the world at that time. I think it was 2009 when I wrote this. And the Westboro Baptist Church had just picketed something or other. What don't they picket, you know? And I thought, look at the way humans treat each other. Aliens would certainly not receive anything better as a welcome. And so I wrote about this alien race that comes to Earth bearing the universal cure for cancer. And they're met with speculation and scrutiny and hate, and it follows that theme through book two, where, well, I don't want to give away a spoiler. I guess I don't have much of a choice since we're talking about book two, and
which leads to book three, I guess. Eh?
The humans and the Lairs, which are the alien race, they do end up forming an alliance because they have to against a deadlier threat. And that deadlier threat comes to pass here in United, where that's why it's called United. Humans and Lairs finally have to put aside their differences, work together if they want to survive the threat of this much deadlier alien race.
So have you ever thought about, and maybe this might have worked up in your book a little bit, where we right now are trying to reach out to alien forms, and how do you know that they're not going to come here and, you know, maybe we're going to be like their cattle, and we're going to say, yeah, well, welcome, they're going to say, yeah, come on aboard, or... The other thing that I'm always worried about is I hear that when you die, you see this light and you go towards the light. Could it be like a zapper? I mean, you know, that's the kind of things I look at.
It reminds me, what was the short story where the book, How to Serve Man, and everybody thinks it's a book.
Oh, it's Twilight Zone. Was it a Twilight Zone episode? It's one of my favorites.
And it turns out How to Serve Man is a cookbook.
It's a cookbook.
Yeah, no, those aren't the kinds of aliens I want to meet. I want to meet the sexy aliens in my book. Yes, those are the ones, you know.
Like Clark Kent.
Yeah. No, I think about that too. I mean, in such an infinite universe, it's a foregone conclusion that there's life out there. But in such an infinite universe, what are the odds we're going to cross paths when both of our species are existing? You know, and then there's the old joke that aliens just don't want to come here because they see what's going on. So.
I don't ever think about aliens. I think about like men in tights and kilts dancing around and, you know, much more like happy fantasy. No dark alien science fiction stuff. That would keep me up at night. No?
Well, you know, that almost sounds like a soccer game in a sense. I don't know. Anyway, we have Guilt Hollow also. Laurie Langdon, not only with a co-author of Dune, the Dune series, but a brand new book, Guilt Hollow. Talk to me about that and how you can keep things straight with Dune. You're doing two things at once here, I think.
This is true. First of all, Guilt Hollow, it is the story of Willow Lamont and her best friend, Ashton, who is convicted of manslaughter at the age of 14. And he's sent away to juvie, and Willow always believes in his innocence. Until the day that he comes back to town, fueled by rage and revenge, and it causes her to question everything she believed to be true. And when he approaches her and asks her for her help to solve the crime of who set him up, she has to decide if she trusts him, if she believes that he is a villain, a savior, or a bit of both. So it has a lot of a mystery element, a little bit of romance, and as far as actually balancing the two, that's interesting because I did write them simultaneously. There were times Guilt Hollow is written in third person past and Dune is written in first person past. And I did get that confused a little bit. So I would send chapters to Carrie, say, and it would have the third person intermingled in. And I actually still do that at times working on a new project. And I have to really watch myself.
That's where being a co-author, I think, is really useful, is you have a second set of eyes looking over everything before anyone else sees it.
And Dune is a magical world. Gilt Hollow is realistic, suspenseful fiction, no magic whatsoever. So I really had to focus on what I was writing at that time to keep the two things straight. I'd never done that before, and I am amazed that I pulled it off.
So, you know, with a Dune, kind of a magical land where this has two authors, do you have in your writing room, maybe you don't have a writing room, maybe it's just on the couch while everybody watches television or something, you're typing away, but do you happen to have like a map that shows the different things so each of you are kind of on the same page, if you will?
That's a funny story, actually. When Lori and I were writing the first book, we were in a, what shall we call it, a heated discussion.
Yes, a debate.
A passionate exchange on the landscape of Dune, where the characters were going, and we all had the same, Lori and I had the same elements, but we were differing a little bit on where things were located. So we both went and drew our maps. And true to form, Lori's map is very pretty. It's, I don't even know what program you use, but it's gorgeous. Mine was done on a piece of white paper with colored Sharpies, and it looks like a second grader drew it. And what we found out when we compared maps is we had all the same elements, but they were mirror images of each other. So we flipped my map, and it fit hers perfectly. And we actually, on our website, The Duneverse, we have pictures of those maps side by side, so you can see them. And then to take it one step farther, one of our readers actually drew out a gorgeous map of Dune, and hopefully we'll have that up on the Duneverse website soon to share with
people. But this example is so characteristic of us because we are so opposite, but that's what makes it work, because we kind of complement each other. We have different strengths, and we each write a character in the Dune series, and actually two in the fourth book, but they're very different. And those girls are very different, but they're really good friends, just like us.
You know, I can almost see that in my mind's eye. Here's Lori. She has, like, the castles and everything else, the forests, and they're all painted a pretty green, and everything's blue and everything. And here's Carrie. Her map is more like a topographical map, I think.
Yeah, exactly.
Drawn by a first grader.
All right, Melissa, how about you? I mean, here we, you know, we're in this universe here, and we're on the, we're on Earth, and we're on another planet, if you will. Did you also have things drawn out so you could refer to those?
I wish that I had. That would have been helpful. I also wish that I had kept a spreadsheet of all the foreign words that I created. And I remember telling someone, maybe it was one of you guys, at one point, if I ever want to write another book about an entire alien culture, smack me and don't let me do it. It was a lot of work building it from the ground up. Who do they worship and why? Do they really believe it, or is it habit? What are their customs? What are their rites of passage? You know, they're not going to have a sweet 16 at the Olive Garden. Their rite of passage is going to be different. What do they value? It was so labor intensive. And if I had been more organized, I would have kept some kind of a spreadsheet, but I didn't. And that did come back to bite me in the third book when I had to stop, get up, get the first or second, leaf through it. What did I call that thing again? How did I spell that breakfast that they eat? Yeah, no, I'm not as organized as I maybe should be. And I'm writing high fantasy now, and I haven't learned my lesson. I'm not kept tracking of anything. I just, maybe I'm more of a pantser than I thought.
You know, I know somebody now that can do that real well. I mean, they draw the cities real well and stuff. If, you know, if you want me to talk to Lori, maybe I can.
Yeah, introduce me later.
And you know, not only that, but if writing does not work out, you could probably be a city planner.
Yeah, right. I don't think they'd want us to do that.
The traffic would be worse than it is today.
Yes.
And worse. There would be a castle on every third corner.
Now, Gilt Hollow, first book series?
Right now, it's a standalone book. There are possibilities for spinoffs, and we're going to wait and see how it does. And if there's a demand for it, I would definitely be interested. Gilt Hollow is the name of the town, and it's a very eclectic world. It's like Yellow Springs, Ohio, if anybody's ever been there. And there are tree sweaters, and people will just cop a squat in the middle of the sidewalk and start playing instruments. And that is Gilt Hollow. So I love that town, and I would definitely set more books there.
You know, Dune, the last book in Dune, will you two collaborate on maybe another series? Maybe you've already talked about that.
We have talked about continuing our collaboration, and it's something that we both would like to do, as well as pursuing independent projects. It just kind of depends on demand and schedule. But I think as collaborators, it's much easier to face the world of publishing when you have someone by your side who has a vested interest. You know, we never had to go to a book signing alone at the beginning. We never had to do anything alone. We always had each other.
And if you get a bad review, you can call and cry to each other on the phone. Now, if I get a bad review for Gilt Hollow, I cry alone. No.
Well, not only that, but you had somebody to blame.
Yeah, yeah.
And somebody to celebrate with when, you know, when your book makes like the Amazon bestseller list, or you get an amazing review in Entertainment Weekly or USA Today. It's a lot of people are happy for you, but there's no one who understands like a collaborator.
You know, I've talked to some people who have been bestsellers, but they didn't start out that way. They started out with nobody at their book signing. Has that ever happened to the three of you?
Well, that happens to bestsellers.
Carrie and I just had a signing last week where only one person showed up. We usually have a very good turnout to our signings, and I had driven, it was like 6 hours round trip for the signing. But this one person, she was a writer, she's a huge Dune fan, and we were able to spend some one-on-one time with her, and I feel like it was worthwhile.
Yeah, no doubt, especially if you can get a writer in there that can write about that, and as being a fan. Melissa, how about yourself?
Everyone's been through it. I usually get a decent turnout at my events, but I launched my very first adult contemporary romance back in 2012. This was under a pen name, and I had my launch party, and it happened to be a Tuesday evening when the Reds were in the playoffs. That store was a ghost town. Nobody came, not one person. And God bless her, the event coordinator sat there and talked to me the whole time, so I didn't feel like such a loser. But I went home that night and reached out to some author friends, and they told me, listen, I'm a New York Times bestseller. I have had that exact same experience. No one is safe from it.
Okay, well, let's talk about maybe publishing these books. Have you ever gone through maybe where you've, you've got everything together, you send your manuscripts in, and perhaps right off the bat, nobody wanted it? That probably didn't happen to you guys.
I think every author with a dream of publishing with a traditional publisher experiences a lot of rejection before their book is actually in print. It's just how the industry works.
And rejection is, I think, one of people's biggest fears. It's something that we deal with. Even now, you know, being a published author doesn't mean that you're not going to get rejection. You know, I had a manuscript go out, and it was a historical YA. It was a retelling of Oliver Twist. Everyone who read the book loved it. And then no one wanted it. It brings you back to reality. You know, we had, Carrie and I had this four-book deal for Dune, and you think you're set. You've made it. Not always the case.
And probably with Melissa, she just got right in. She's going, what's
actually, well, Alienated was the first book I ever wrote. And it did get picked up by Disney Hyperion. I've been very, very fortunate. But like Lori said, just because you're published doesn't mean you don't experience rejection. There are rejections all the time. Stores that I've wanted to sign in that have just not replied to my emails, or events that my publicist has pitched me for that have said, no, thank you. I mean, it just happens. It's part of the business. You have to be very tough. You can't be sensitive and keep your sanity, basically.
Writing a book, especially at the beginning, is a very personal thing. And sharing that book, sending it out to an agent or a publisher, is a very kind of vulnerable act. Getting a book published, especially your first book, same thing, very vulnerable. And reviews come in, and that's just another form of rejection. You have people who love your books and people that don't care for them. That's the nature of the business. But some of the negative reviews are very, very harsh, to the point that I know authors who've quit the business because the reviews have just devastated them.
So, you know, I know that Carrie and Melissa, you guys probably have all kinds of time and you do a lot of things. What's some of the favorite things that you like to do? And with Lori, she's writing like a lot here, so you're probably just home writing all the time, eh?
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm writing fantasy now, and so I had to, for research, watch all 6 seasons of Game of Thrones.
Oh, of course.
I had to. It was for research. I took one for the team there. So that's been occupying a lot of my time.
So good. Yeah, Melissa actually writes a crazy amount of books. She writes like she's running out of time. Lori also has several projects. I have a little less going on because I also work for a company in downtown Cincinnati. So I have a regular 9-to-5 in addition to writing.
So is that something you might look forward to in the future? I mean, the books get so popular, and I could see the Dune series probably already so popular and everything. And, of course, the way you ladies write, man, these books are great. Do you ever foresee yourself doing nothing but writing full-time?
I would love that, honestly. But writing is a difficult business. What we really need, the Dune series is very successful. We have a lot of readers. We're grateful for each and every reader, every Dunian who reaches out to us on social media. But it's still not enough to make a living. And a lot of authors face this. You either have to have multiple projects a year you're juggling, or you have to reach a certain amount of sales. And even then, a series can make the New York Times list and the next series doesn't. So it's a very volatile business, and you never know from one day to the next what your job security is going to be like. So unfortunately, I don't see myself walking away from the corporate world anytime soon. But it would be amazing if it could happen. And if there are any movie producers out there listening, yes, I'm sure we could hook you up with some copies of the series.
And, you know, and I do admire writers because I think it's so tough to write to keep those ideas flowing, which, you know, it just wants the reader to keep reading. For me, it's like if I would be writing, I'd be pushing this big, huge stone up a hill and they'd fall down and crush me. But that's just me. Let's find out about some websites here, because, you know, I know with United or Guild Hollow or the Dune series, man, I know people are going to want to check that out and see what's on the websites. And you can tell me what's on the websites. We could start with Melissa.
Well, all of my books are on my website. I have the Alienated series, which is a completed trilogy, and then I have the Starflight series. If you're familiar with the television show Firefly by Joss Whedon, it's like a young adult Firefly. That's a duology. And you can find all of those on melissa-landers.com. That's melissa-landers.com.
I have the Lori Langdon website, which has all the information about the Dune series as well as Guilt Hollow. And we, Carrie, Melissa, and I are actually getting ready to go on a book tour. And all of our events are listed on that website as well, LoriLangdon.com.
And then there's also the official Dune website, which is the Duneverse. It's duneseries.com, DOONSERIES.com. On that site, readers can get a synopsis of all 4 books. There are questions for book clubs. There's a bunch of bonus scenes that didn't make the first and second book. There are musical playlists. There's an events page that shows where we're going to be. And also there's an extra page full of all kinds of fun stuff. There are signed book plates that readers can print out that Lori and I have signed that they can put in their books. There's printable posters. And, of course, there are our infamous maps of Dune.
Wow.
Oh, since you mentioned that, I just wanted to add, I also have a core content aligned discussion guide on my website because the first book was nominated by YALSA for a quick pick for reluctant readers. So being a teacher for 10 years, I couldn't resist. So if any teachers want to, they can download that.
All right. So, you know, I think that Lori mentioned you guys are going on a book tour. I know some authors the publishing house will get like a big, huge bus. Maybe, and I've seen Obama's bus, and I think that I saw, goodness sakes, the guy from Salt Lake City that was running that didn't win, but they had their buses, and they reconfigured those. Will you guys be on a huge bus?
Those living? Guys have nothing on Melissa That's Lander's right. SUV.
We're going to decorate my Honda Pilot. And people are going to bow down as we drive down the street. What are we going to decorate it with?
Dune and alienated pictures. You've already got your license plate says what, Mo?
Lanaby. The Lanaby. One. Yes, yes.
So we will, and you have had reader sightings on the highway.
I have. A reader tweeted me a picture of myself driving on the interstate once. She said, "Oh my God, I just passed Melissa Lander's on the interstate." She blew right past me, going 80 miles an hour. Yeah, so no, this is, we're roughing it a little bit. Roughing it, you know.
Roughing it.
Setting out, and how many states are we doing? Nashville, Atlanta, Orlando, Jacksonville, and Charlotte. And along the way, if you can't make it, we will leave behind plenty of signed stock for you.
All right. Well, you know, the three authors here, three different books, Melissa Lander's with United, an alienated novel. What a fantastic idea here for a novel with going between, Earth and another world. And of course, not everything's so lovey-dovey, especially when they find the other alien people out there that just might want to do them in, I would think, huh?
Oh, yes.
Guild Hollow, Lori Langdon. Here we have a kid. He's murdered somebody. Apparently, he goes to jail. Does he get out? What happens to him? You'll have to find out when you get Guild Hollow. And again, that from Lori Langdon. And Forever Dune, this is the final book in the series. Man, I can't wait to read the other books by Carrie Corp and Lori Langdon. We go off to a fantasy world with witches and kings and castles. Ladies, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you. It's wonderful to be here.
Been listening to Cover to Cover. I'm your host, Mark DeWitt.
To access this or other audio programming, visit our website, theflypod.com.